famous Exxon gasolines. The wake-up call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. Now with your host, Rick Moore.
Yeehaw, boys and girls. Thank you so much for joining in today. An interesting topic. We will be talking about cancer, cannabis, and some candidates all lined up together with Al Byrne and Mary Lynn Mathry, M.L. Mathry. Let's thank Blue Ridge Graphics for allowing us to be here today. You can find them at Mead Avenue and East High Street here in Charlottesville. They provide custom T-shirts and sportswear, plus promotional items for schools, organizations, and businesses. Blue Ridge Graphics, 296-9746. Online, it's brgtshirts.com. And a big shout-out to Lovingston's 94.7. Hope you're tuning in down there. And Harrisonburg's 95.1. All right. I'm going to shout out the phone numbers here real quick because I think some people will want to call in with their questions and their topics. Comments for today's topic. 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS is the long distance. You can use that toll free for those of you a little further out. 877-WNRN-ROCKS. Local 979-0919. And last week we had a lot of people sending out their message across the internet. WNRN Studio will get your instant message here. So let's turn up the mics. Make sure we got everybody sitting properly across your microphone. Good morning, folks.
Hello.
Good morning.
Well, let's try that again. I didn't do very well with that. It's crazy how, you know, those microphones, we tested those this morning, did we not, Rusty?
Yes, we did.
We tested those, and everything seemed to work so well. One more time.
Good morning.
Kind of. Well, you know what?
Just a kind of good morning.
We're gonna use mic two, and I know Rusty's gonna help me set that up real quick because I'm not sure Kristen's done that. Remember to put it in the two-person slot for me, and we'll go from there. We are gonna be talking about cannabis and cancer. Al Byrne is here. He's from Veterans for Medical Cannabis Access. M.L. Mathry is the Virginia Nurses Association. They are both co-founders of the organization Patients Out of Time. And again, 979-0919, 1-877 WNRN-ROCKS. I see that that phone ringing already. Dial us up while go right ahead. All right, let's try this microphone.
Good morning again.
I don't know what's going on over there. Do you, Rusty? No, one more time, Al.
Hi there, guys.
Shout it out.
Shout it out. Do I just have to be real loud?
Yeah. I don't know. It's very weak. We got a call coming in, and we'll do that while... I feel like I need to play some music to keep it going, because this is not my topic. I always call in and ask questions when we do this. Right in your face.
You want to hear from me instead of some music?
I can hear from you now.
Okay.
Although I have no idea how close you and ML will get for the topic today.
Yeah, we've been close in the past.
You've been close in the past. And Mary Lynn?
Yes.
Yeah, see? I think you guys are going to have to share that microphone. I always feel so stupid. You know that? I always feel so incredibly stupid when this happens because Rusty and Kristen and I probably spent 15 minutes doing everything we needed to do and making sure everything was ready to go, and sure enough, it did. And I strutted around so happy that it was all going to work. Let me get the phone call. You guys got your headphones on. So let's take a call. We got Milo. Hi, Milo.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
I'm well. And you folks can hear Milo on your headphones, right?
Sure.
See,
yes,
that part works. All right, Milo, what you got for me?
I was just calling up to thank your guests for being on. I think it's a very, very important subject, a controversial one that gets often split along party lines. It doesn't need to be. I think you kind of know my libertarian and slightly conservative leaning roots on many political issues. But on this one, I definitely fall in line with your guests. And I'd just like to say I'm an 18-year cancer survivor. And I definitely was able to, I'm able to attest that there's something about medical cannabis that no other drug can do, Marinol and other things don't do, and I'm glad to see some doors opening and its acceptance, and just wanted to chime in on the show.
All right, Milo, thanks so much, man. And as Milo, as a personal friend, you should make sure to call next Sunday for the fundraiser.
All right, I'll be there.
Thanks, man. All right, back to our guest. I think we're gonna cheat and use the one microphone and share with Al and ML as we do talk about medical cannabis. Let's jump right into the major topic. The reason I've done this topic before, years and years apart. I'd had to check back. I don't think it's been quite that long ago that I've done this topic. But one of the things that caught my attention was that Veterans Affairs, the VA area, has allowed cannabis as a medicine for all vets in all facilities. Is that right?
Absolutely correct. This only occurred in the first week of July when my organization, which received a letter from the Undersecretary for Health for Veterans Affairs, stating that as of that moment in time, that date, July 6th, all veterans of all wars would be treated in all VA facilities if they use cannabis as a medicine and if that particular veteran had a written recommendation from a doctor in a what we can now refer to as a legal state for medical marijuana. That number is 14 states plus the District of Columbia. But essentially what the letter indicated was that even if a veteran was here in Virginia, for instance, and wanted to be treated in a and had the right to be treated in a VA hospital here in Virginia, and had a written recommendation from, say, the state of Maine, which has legal cannabis, and had that cannabis being used as a medicine, the VA facility would accept that vet and his treatment as legitimate medicine.
So, I mean, if I understand this properly, Virginia does not allow cannabis as a legalized drug.
That is correct.
Or a drug, well, they don't allow it as a drug for anything, but they don't allow it as a medical drug.
Correct.
And if I am a Virginia resident, but a veteran, and am being treated in a VA hospital, I can't have cannabis as my doctor used cannabis with me.
Correct.
But if I live in one of the other 14 states and have someone there from the medical profession say that it is allowable and a drug that my doctor in this state says is okay, in that sense, then the Virginia VA hospital has to allow me to use it.
Correct.
That just seems so odd.
Well, it's a beginning. Up until July 6th, any veteran that used cannabis as medicine, even if under a doctor's supervision in one of these 14 states, was brought into came into the VA and was found to be using cannabis in any way, as a medicine or recreationally, they would be expelled, if I may use that word, from the VA system and his or her treatment for whatever malady they may have. One of the founding directors of our organization is a fellow named Mike Kravitz, and Mike is really the lead here, the point of the spear on all this. Mike is a 100% disabled Air Force veteran who at many times uses heavy painkillers like OxyContin and things like that to quell the pain. These prescription drugs are given to him free, of course, by the Veterans Administration. When the Veterans Administration asked him to sign what they call now a pain contract, he refused to do so because the pain contract indicated that if he used cannabis in any way whatsoever, they would deny him the use of his pain-killing drugs under VA prescription rules. What Mike had found, as hundreds, if not thousands of us have found, thousands, I'll put it in the thousands, that the use of cannabis, in many, many instances, completely eliminates the use of prescription drugs. In other cases, it greatly allows the reduction of other prescription drugs. Mike, therefore, was using a relatively no side effect, very, very safe drug called cannabis instead of a really, really dangerous prescription drug with all kinds of side effects. He refused to buckle. He refused to let the VA force him to stop using cannabis as a medicine. So, of course, he was eliminated from the VA system. That, therefore, you can assume 100% disabled veteran denied his pain medicine when he really needed it, felt a lot of pain. Mike put this in it, in himself, and used that as a way to carry on, and through education of doctors and nurses in the VA system. He didn't talk to politicians, he didn't talk to lobbyists, he didn't talk to people that make their money trying to legalize marijuana or running dispensaries, or he didn't talk to editors or journalists. He talked to doctors and he talked to nurses, and he educated those doctors and nurses about the medical efficacy of cannabis, and they agreed with him. And this is, I know it hasn't caught on yet. I hope it catches on with somebody out there that can really make a difference. The Veterans Administration is the largest healthcare organization in our country. It treats millions of people for any kind of imaginary sickness or disease or illness you could ever come up with. And they do so really very, very well, and even more so since the money that's been obligated has increased over the years, the past few years. But what we have here now is a system that has agreed with the 14 states and the District of Columbia and the six or other eight states or so that are considering calling marijuana medicine, that it is medicine. Now this is huge, folks. A veteran with pain can be treated legally in a federal institution in this country with a prohibited drug. With a prohibited drug. A drug that I can't have. I'm a veteran. I live in Virginia. My wife here is a veteran. She lives in Virginia. She's a cancer survivor. I have post-traumatic stress. I have cancer. I can't use cannabis. If I do, I go to jail. I'm a veteran. I did what I did. My wife did what she did. There's a veteran in California that can have cannabis. How come?
Let me remind everybody, we are talking about cannabis. We are talking about it as a medical drug. We're also talking about it as something that has recently changed. Back on, I believe, July 22nd of this year, was federally allowed as a treatable drug for treatable purposes in VA hospitals. That was a big jump and a big change in its use. We're going to be talking about a film, What If Cannabis Cured Cancer, that has received a lot of notoriety out in play. And we will be talking a little bit later in the program about politics and candidates and how cannabis plays in the role of candidates for upcoming elections. 979-0919-1877-WNRN Rocks is the toll-free number. You've been listening to Al Byrne from Veterans for Medical Cannabis Access. We also have ML Mathry here in the studio from the Virginia Nurses Association. And it looks like we got another call. We got Scott from Charlottesville. Hi, Scott.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
I have a
to
brief
you.
Question for each of the two guests. Number one, to clarify, at current, if or until the recent change, if I were a VA patient who went into Roanoke to get treatment, if I were taking marijuana at all, admittedly, would I have been denied all services, or is the issue that I can now, if I go into the VA, I can have and actively use in Virginia in the VA hospital marijuana? I think it was that if you were using marijuana at all, you were denied all services, even if you understood, if you went into Roanoke, for instance, that you couldn't bring your marijuana with you. And the second question is, I know that Darvocet, the FDA panel has suggested it really has not much efficacy and be removed. What kind of studies are out there documenting that marijuana has any benefit? I mean, it's anecdotal evidence is a great starting point, but one hopes that it goes beyond that. Thanks.
You know,
Yeah, regarding the VA question, that is still a real problem in Virginia. Yes, if you admitted to use, you very well could lose benefits. They wouldn't treat you medically. They'd want you to go into a drug treatment program and then, of course, take care of you. Although I must say I do believe there's probably some VA physicians who might look the other way, who do recognize that it is medicine. But under their directives, when they're working, that's what they're supposed to do. And it still is a problem for veterans coming into the hospital. If they were admitted to a VA hospital in a legal state, they still can't even use it on the property because it's federal property. So there's a lot of issues. But I think the point Al was trying to make, this is such a big statement from the VA to say this, and it allows you as a veteran to go to Roanoke and point out, there's something wrong. Why, if I'm in Virginia, I can't have it, but if I'm in California, I can. And so that's something the VA docs are trying to do the right thing. Dr. Petzl, who issued this directive, doing the right thing medically, and yet his hands are tied at the federal level. So it's a real conundrum there. Going to the efficacy of cannabis, you hear from the politicians, it's only anecdotal. Now, in reality, there's millions of anecdotals that says it's good, but there are dozens. There are more than dozens of clinical trials out there. Many are not in the United States, but then again, many are still done in the United States that do show its efficacy in a number of different issues. It's clear beyond any shadow of the doubt that it's great for nausea, vomiting, that it's good for chronic pain, that it's good for spasticity, that it lowers the eye pressure for glaucoma. The studies are out there. The facts are there. If people go to our website, www.medicalcannabis.com, you can pull down different studies there. You can click on some of the presentations we have at our conferences with the researchers who are actually doing the work. It is really a good medicine. And if we've got time at some point, we really like to introduce the concept that probably none of your practicing physicians is even aware of, because they've not been taught about the newly discovered endocannabinoid system. We all have cannabinoid. It's like the active compounds in the cannabis plant. You've got THC, the psychoactive one, and then you've got about 60 cannabinoids altogether. And these other ones have a lot of therapeutic benefit for you. Well, our body makes the same kind of chemicals called cannabinoids, and in the body they're called endocannabinoids or endogenous cannabinoids. The plant ones are phytocannabinoids, but we make our own cannabinoids and we have receptor sites throughout our body, and this system is very essential for normal health, for maintaining homeostasis, and this science is literally explaining why cannabis is so helpful to so many people.
It is 11:19 here on the Wake Up Call, talking with M.L. Mathry, who you just heard from, Virginia Nurses Association. Al Byrne is here, Veterans for Medical Cannabis Access, and they are the co-founders of the organization Patients Out of Time. Dial up with your question, 979-0919-1877-WNRN Rocks. Early in the program today, talking about the medical versions of cannabis. We are going to get into the politics in a few moments, as well as the film, What If Cannabis Cured Cancer? It is 11:19. The markets of Tiger Fuel forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley, mostly sunny today, highs in the mid-80s, mostly cloudy tonight, except a very clear Richmond sky with lows 55 to 60. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, except for some clouds in Richmond, highs 80 to 85, a little cooler over in the valley right now. It's a beautiful sky outside, 72 in the valley, 70 in Lynchburg, 72 in Richmond, 70 here in Charlottesville.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
I think those microphones are all your problem, Al. You bring the cannabinoids here in the studio with you. We do want to thank RelayFoods.com for their support today, serving Charlottesville and Richmond. RelayFoods.com is the place to go for locally grown food and groceries from your favorite local stores and restaurants. You can order until midnight, and it'll be ready by 3 p.m. the next day. RelayFoods.com lets you save time, beat traffic, and get the food you need from sources you know and trust. That's RelayFoods.com. All right, back on the conversation. You know, when I was doing my homework, Al and ML sent me some websites to visit, and I found this quote, and I'm sure it was posted somewhere because of its surprisingness to the end of it. We must remember that the best healthcare decisions are not made by government and insurance companies, but by patients and their doctors. President George W. Bush, State of the Union Address, January 23rd, 2007. And Al, that goes back to what you started with, was how to make this, to make cannabis available in the VA hospitals was, the gentleman who you mentioned spoke to the doctors and got the doctors on his side. And I don't want to spend the hour talking about, cannabis as, you know, making it available as a medical drug, because we've done that program before. The important part to me is that it's now available in VA hospitals, and what a giant step that is. But how do you go to talk a little bit about the political part of it? How do you get a strong Republican president who many people would say was having some sort of lapse or seizure to say that at the time, to say that, and then have so many politicians be, they won't even stand up and raise their hand for saying that they would think about making it available.
Yeah, they're dumb as a stone. The Virginia Tech has discontinued this, but they did something called the Quality of Life Survey every year here in Virginia. They talk to people who voted. And a number of years ago now, around 80% of the voters of the state of Virginia thought that medical marijuana should have been available to them and everybody else in the state yesterday. I have no idea why a politician in any place in our political system, state or federal, would not want to support something that 80% of the citizens of his state want. Or her state wants to support. It is mind-boggling. Not only does the VA recognize the medical utility of marijuana, but I will point out that the first state nursing association to vote openly for the use of medical marijuana for patients in their state was the state of Virginia. And here we have folks like Rob Bell, if you want to get into politics, who unequivocally state that it's not medicine. I mean, he should know. He hasn't spent a day in a medical school or a nursing school in his life, but he's an expert on what he doesn't know. The unfortunate part of a guy like Bell is what he doesn't know ends up in a vote that means I don't get medicine in a VA hospital in Virginia, or I get arrested if I use VA medicine like that in the state of Virginia. That's a political decision that, to me, has absolutely no foundation, none. The University of Virginia here itself, its nursing school, its law school, and its medical school sponsored one of our conferences in 2004, that was approved by the American Nurses Association, the American Nurses Medical Association, for education credits for doctors and nurses. This is his university. And he's in effect saying that he knows more than the regents of UVA do. I think that kind of political ignorance it's scary. It's scary.
Yeah, because we're not talking about whether or not to change the, and I know I'm, there's a word for it. We're not talking about changing the level of acceptance drug-wise for marijuana. What's the word? It's like morphine is at one level and...
Scheduling.
We're not talking currently about changing the schedule level of marijuana. We're not talking about whether or not you can go put a store down on the corner and go buy it because you have migraines, et cetera. We're talking about... Currently, the three of us are discussing whether or not to make Virginia accept it as a drug for use just in the VA hospital. We're talking about matching up with 14 other states that are allowing it and a variety of doctors and nurses association who do. And yet we have politicians out there who completely walk away from the discussion.
Well, it's interesting. They don't all do that. Representative Perriello was handed by my wife just a few days ago the letter that we received from the VA that indicated what we've been talking about, that medicine is marijuana is medicine is available in the VA. Now, Representative Perriello is on the Armed Services Committee. He's very, very interested in what goes on. We all know Senator Webb is on the Senate Armed Services Committee, and if there was ever a military leader, it's him. Both these gentlemen are very interested in medical marijuana, but as Mr. Perriello indicated to my wife, he did not even know that the VA had made this momentous decision. And I will say something that I've said often in my conferences. The U.S. government lies to people in this country by what it does not tell them. It didn't even tell Representative Perriello what it did. In the 1981 IOM, Institute of Medicine report that was commissioned by the federal government to study the medical utility of marijuana, the report came back and said it's very much medicine. The federal government printed 300 copies of that report. Do the math. That's not even a copy for every senator and representative at the federal level, let alone anybody else. So when the 1999 same study came along, IOM, they remembered what the federal government had buried, and the lady that was headed up that conference, Dr. Janet Joy, called me one day and said, "Al, this time we're going to do it different. We're going to put it out on the Internet. The government will never be able to hide the information." Maybe Mr. Bell has just been hidden the information as Representative Perriello has, but now Mr. Perriello has seen the information, and he has asked us to make an appointment to meet with him and his people. So there is interest out there. I think part of it, what you're doing, Rick, is very helpful. You're letting a lot of people know right now what we know, and hopefully they will become their own little sounding machine and go off and tell a lot of other people, too.
Well, dial up 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS, because one of the things that I find most interesting, whether you're for it or against it, that's not... Well, I want to say it is important, but one of the things that this was a huge step that was taken in July. And so whatever your beliefs, the program today and the program as a whole, the wake up call, is not meant to heavily promote one side or the other. When I have a politician on, the other is always invited, whether or not they choose to come. The conversation today is here, and it has M.L. Mathry and Al Byrne, who are supporting cannabis as a medical use. And again, the topic starts with the conversation about what has been done in the VA hospitals, because, Al, as you just mentioned, who the hell knows about it? And so how do you stand up, whether supported, and to recognize that the big step has finally been taken, how do you stand up against it without knowing that the big step has finally been taken? And I recognize your side, my side, is to just discuss it so that the people who don't know enough about it can learn more about it and go from there.
Exactly. And of course, within my world is a sub-world called veterans. Mary Lynn and I both belong to the American Legion. We're both Navy veterans. I am a retired Navy officer. Within our veteran world, we have spread the word significantly. And within the veterans organizations, what we know will happen, because we know how we operate as a group, veterans hospitals all over the country are hearing daily from hundreds and thousands of veterans saying, "Hey, I live in Idaho. I need cannabis. I want it. I want it right now. I want it in my veterans facility. I want to be able to use it as medicine. Help me."
ML, there's been... a number of states, and I guess everything seems to start with California. But since California, we have states like Iowa, if I'm not mistaken, who now have legalized cannabis for use. Is that true? Not true?
No, the Board of Pharmacy in Iowa put it out of Schedule One and moved it to took it out of Schedule One. But the state hasn't made any real. It's not a medical marijuana.
But there are 13 other states.
There are 14 altogether. Yep.
And how does this affect – is this all about doctors? Because at some point a politician has to stand up and say it's okay. It's not all Rob Bell standing to the side and saying, hell no. There have to be politicians saying, it's okay. All right, fine. The doctors say it's okay. Whether you agree with it or not, at that point you can say, fine, we'll let the doctors, you know, take the hit on this. If people that would normally vote for me don't believe it, I'm just going to stand back and say, it wasn't me who voted for it. It was the doctors. But you have such a difference of opinion. When Al mentioned the Virginia Tech poll with 80% of the general population saying make it okay, well, let's turn that down a little bit, because my belief is that the number of people who are actually going to go out and vote is probably a lesser number than 80% who would approve of it. But the number doesn't come anywhere close to matching up with the percentage of politicians who say it's okay. How do you get them how do you get the two numbers to come close together? Either you have to teach the politicians that it's acceptable and prove to them that it's acceptable to stand up, or you have to get the population to say, no, I'm voting, I'm doing this the wrong way. What's, you know, how do you do that?
Well, things are changing and they're moving. And we really, at Patients Out of Time, think education is one of the biggest keys. And we really try to educate healthcare professionals because ethically we think they're bound to do it. Now, years back, it would be more like 20% of the people thought there was medical marijuana. They thought it was a joke. So the good news is with the internet's a big help. And getting the word out, I mean, we're turned that table now. It's looking like 80%. So it is changing. We've got politicians who really believe it and understand it. The really sad part, when you ever listen to the arguments against it, those politicians are stuck in 1960 or something. The arguments they use have been dismissed, and yet they do try to create the fear factor of people. I mean, you know, I guess the other thing, too, is the whole focus we're trying to say is cannabis is medicine. It doesn't work for everyone, but every patient should have the option. Every healthcare professional should have the option of bringing that subject up to the patient. So if someone doesn't want it, fine, don't use it. But you talked earlier about the schedule. Marijuana is in Schedule 1. That means three things for any drug to be in this forbidden category: not safe for medical use, highly addictive, and no therapeutic value. The not safe is, this is one of the safest therapeutic substances known to man, and that's a quote from the DEA's judge back in 1988 when he ruled that it should be out of Schedule 2. Ever since that, every study shows how safe it is. You can't overdose. Tylenol kills people every year in overdose, yet it's sold over the counter. So here's cannabis, safer than anything. No therapeutic value in the United States. 14 states in Washington, D.C. have said it's got therapeutic value. The research clearly indicates it has therapeutic value. Strike three. Addictive, highly addictive. Cannabis is probably the least addictive of any socially, recreationally used drugs. It rates down lower than even caffeine. So it doesn't fit the category on any of those levels, and yet it's stuck there. So education, I think, is the key, and I think grassroots people more and more are demanding it. And I think this VA thing hopefully will help swing that. The veterans shouldn't stand for it. And I think, again, people, for when we say support the troops, this is one of the biggest things for them. More veterans come back. This is a very, very sad statistic, but with Vietnam, and we're seeing it now, we lose more by suicide when they come back than those that are killed in the service. They can't deal with the issues that they've had. This post-traumatic stress is very serious for a young person who's been put in the situation we put them in. They come back and they can't cope, and cannabis, and we know now with the endocannabinoid system, we know why it helps with post-traumatic stress. It does help them forget this. It helps them sleep at night. But let alone traumatic brain injuries, loss of limbs, spinal cord injuries, the chronic pain they're faced with, cannabis is a godsend to them. So to not allow a veteran the option to use this medicine is criminal.
What medical uses would cannabis not be allowed for a veteran? You come back and you have Crohn's syndrome, correct? You have...
The short answer is the Veterans Administration has said anything that in the judgment of the observing healthcare professional deemed it necessary to use cannabis, that their judgment stands. Anything. Headache, Crohn's disease, sickle cell, name it.
In
look, can I just piggyback on Mary Lynn for a second? On our website, there is a list of supporting organizations.
What's your website?
Medicalcannabis.com. Medicalcannabis.com. There is a list of supporting organizations, including the Virginia Medical Association. Virginia Nursing Association, and 14 other state nursing associations, and the American Medical Association, and the American Nurses Association. Dozens and dozens and dozens of professional medical organizations have supported the statement of patients at a time that cannabis is medicine and we want it now. Dozens. Online, internet, the world over, hosted by the University of California's continuing education system, the School of Medicine in San Francisco being the office that actually does the administration of the continuing education credits for medical doctors and registered nurses, is a series of lectures put on by the American Medical Association, the American Nurses Association, and Patients at a Time. The American Nurses Association has said in writing, Mary Lynn was the sponsor of this bill, that every nurse in the United States of America should be educated about the therapeutic use of marijuana. Representative Bell says it's not a medicine. The American Nurses Association has authorized my organization, Patients at a Time, to give lectures to doctors for which they get continuing medical education credits, and the lectures are about the use of medical cannabis clinically on their patients. And politicians say it's not medicine. Dr. Weil, Andrew Weil, the father of alternative medicine in the United States of America, who has an institute sharing those titles down at the University of Arizona, is the most known doctor in the world about alternative medicine. Dr. Weil is an old friend of ours, and we brought to him the attention of a film made by a buddy of ours called What If Cannabis Cured Cancer? Well, the answer is it does cure cancer. We showed this film to Dr. Weil. Dr. Weil just wrote a national editorial a couple of days ago saying, if you're a doctor in America and you haven't seen this film, you're stealing something from every patient in your practice. Dr. Weil has one medical cannabis organization on his website, which gets 2 million hits a day, by the way. He's not a nut. He's sought after by every doctor in the world and patient in the world. The only medical cannabis organization listed there is Patients at a Time. And I'll tell you why. Because in this mess that we have a bunch of people that are saying, let's legalize cannabis. We have a bunch of people like myself that's saying, let's just do the medicine and get that done with and not confuse the issue. Well, the people are confused. Medical professionals are confused. Politicians are confused. The public is confused. Maybe you're confused. I'm not confused. Those organizations that you've heard of and you see in the paper and get written up all the time are run by lawyers and lobbyists and professional fundraisers, and they say anything to raise a dollar, and none of them, not one of them, has been to nursing school or medical school. None of them. Everybody you see in the paper, the lobbyists, the lawyers, the attorneys, the politicians, none of them have been to medical school, not one. And I look at it this way. When I'm sick, when I break my arm, I do not go see a lumberjack to get my arm fixed. I don't. When my little kid got hurt, tooth was broken, I took it to a dentist. I didn't take it to a guy that repairs radiators. So what we're saying to you is, if you really want to understand what's going on in medical marijuana, pay attention to the doctors. Pay attention to the ANA, the AMA, and Dr. Weil. Don't pay any attention to Rob Bell.
7:40 here on the Wake Up Call. Guests today, Mary Lynn Mathry from the Virginia Nurses Association, Al Byrne from Veterans for Medical Cannabis Access.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by the Markins of Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
Oh, local billionaire resident John Kluge passed away recently. The one-time richest man in the world had a rags-to-riches story. From his immigrant roots to his oversized generosity, his legacy will be long. Who failed in their manners? Albemarle County School Board or the folks who applied for the open position? on the school board. Each are pointing fingers at the others. And is it true that famous chef Peter Chang is settling his next restaurant in Charlottesville? The Hook. Check it out, because their special event never ends. And support for today's programming also comes from Ben Around Tattoos in downtown Waynesboro. They have both male and female tattoo artists. Ben Around Tattoos has thousands of designs available and can create work from a design that you provide. Ben Around Tattoos, 701 West Main Street in Charlottesville, and also in Waynesboro. For more information, it's benaroundtattoos.com. There's also a shout-out to Hatter & Sons Incorporated. They specialize in carpentry and cabinets. They have several lines of semi-custom cabinetry and a designer with over 35 years of design and installation experience. Hatter & Sons can help you, Transfam, transform your vision into reality. You can also visit their showroom near Wintergreen. And you know what's coming. The fall fundraiser will soon be here. Next Sunday, please join us. We need to thank listeners like Ann Evans or Dr. Nathan Fountain, Barbara Norden for supporting us in the spring. Also, Atlantic Futon and Echo Dry Cleaners. Stay tuned, tell a friend about the Wake Up Call and the other programs you enjoy on WNRN, and be sure to support us in the Fall Fun Drive, which begins tomorrow. 979-0919-1877-WNRN Rocks. Call us up if you have a question or a comment about today's topic, cannabis, as it was recently transformed to make it legal in all VA hospitals. Back in July of this year. And the film, What If Cannabis Cured Cancer, recently out. Al and ML, it seems to me that the you've mentioned several times here that the biggest issue is educating people. Well, people, okay, I'm in my 40s now. I don't need to be newly educated. I already know all I need to know. It seems like you have the hardest time educating the people who come from a lifestyle and life set of where cannabis didn't play a role in their life for any positive use other than getting high and having a good time. But that was it. And I don't want my veterans getting high now that they have finished up their time overseas. So how do you change the mindset? It seems like it's all about time. When those folks who are currently voting and voting in that set of no, when they pass away and the folks who are my age and younger get to the set where they're a big chunk of the folks who are voting say, sure, now it's okay. Isn't it all just about waiting another 20 years?
Hopefully not. But then again, patients out of time. Our name was really, Al came up with that, but it fit perfectly. We knew it as soon as it came out of his mouth. Everything's there, but patients are literally dying every day, sometimes in pain, and it could be eased tremendously with cannabis. And sometimes just living a life of poor quality because they don't have access to this medicine. Hopefully... when people are educated, it will finally change, and the younger people will, do what they need to get it legalized. But education is a big thing, and I'm going to go back again to this endocannabinoid system. As far as healthcare professionals, ethically, we're bound to continue our education. We can't go to med school or nursing school and say, okay, I learned it, and I'm good to go.
Right, but that being continuously informed, isn't that putting in enough credits every year that, you went to a couple gatherings where you went and you had some meals and you sat around and had a couple beers and, you earned your credit by going to the four-day event in Rhode Island or California or Florida. That's all you had to do, right?
Well, in one way or another, you have to get your continuing ed. And the good news is today you can get it easier. You can get it online. You can get it anywhere. I guess the point is that even when we think about cannabis as a medicine, that's one thing. But this endocannabinoid system is science. I mean, if you go to your physician, you expect them to do a great assessment of you. How is your respiratory system? They're listening to your lungs all the time. They might do a chest x-ray if they need to. They're listening to your heart, checking it out. You might get an EKG if you need to. They'll do lab work. They're checking different bodily systems. Well, here's this new system. And literally, I mean, it's almost ironic that the older politicians, et cetera, are voting against it when they're the ones that probably will benefit from it the most. Since this system does help us keep in balance, it looks like as we get older and we're faced with more stressors, this poor little system is working overtime trying to compensate. And pretty soon it just either runs out of steam or malfunctions. A physician, Dr. Ethan Russo, in Washington now, stated a new term called the clinical endocannabinoid deficiency, which would be a diagnosis that we might see in the future. And this, without our cannabinoid system working properly, we very well will come down with a lot of autoimmune diseases. Because it's when that film that says, what if cannabis cured cancer? It's way beyond cancer. It talks about all the research. But the point is, when it comes to cancer, the normal function of the endocannabinoid system is to actually recognize those cancer cells and kill them. We all have cancer cells in our bodies. Every human being does. They just, you know, they pop up, but the normal healthy body fights it off. This endocannabinoid system that I talked about earlier, when they found receptors in the brain, well, since then, we have receptors throughout our body, almost in about every organ of our body. And they have a very important role for each of those organs in helping them function properly. And you can almost see, I mean, whether it be the poor eyesight from glaucoma when the pressure goes high, to whether it be chronic pain, the nausea and vomiting. I mean, the symptoms it covers are such a wide variety. People sometimes look at you and think they think we're crazy. How can it be good for everything? But once you understand the endocannabinoid system and how it does affect so many functions in the body, it really helps you understand how this works. An Italian researcher says the endocannabinoid system is very important in how we eat, sleep, relax, protect, and forget. And those functions go really broader than that. But like, say, the forget, that's your post-traumatic stress disorder, or it's the labor pain women go through when they have a baby. They'd never have another baby if they really remembered how bad it hurt. But the body, the human body, needs to forget really terrible things, or we would be stuck. We wouldn't dare go do anything.
Let's take a call. We have Kevin from Charlottesville. Kevin, you with me?
Yeah, I'm still here.
All right. Question, comment.
My question is, I hear them speaking about the medical ramifications of the medical marijuana, and I think that it probably is a good thing, but he went a little political with it a few minutes ago, and maybe Rob Bell is not voting for it at this moment because who's going to regulate this? This is going to be another federal regulation that needs to be worked, and we all see how Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae, where it went, and how the healthcare system is right now. Maybe before you guys come on here and go political with it, I understand that it's got, good medical ramifications by using it and so forth, but you need to think about who's going to regulate it, how it's going to be regulated, and what's the cost to the United States taxpayers once again by making it a federal other regulation that needs to be taken care of by Washington.
All right. Kevin, hang on for a second. Al Byrne from Veterans for Medical Cannabis Access. Al, reply.
Your question is a complete mystery to me. We have 500,000 drugs, give or take a few, available to you and me right now. We have a scheduling system that goes from 1 to 5. 1 means you can't have it. 5 means you can buy it in a drugstore. What you're saying is that Mr. Bell wants cannabis put in some sort of special category that none of the other 500,000 drugs can be. It's different somehow. And maybe you're right. Because if it's different, it said it's an herb, it's a plant, it's not some manufactured chemical. But I really don't think that it needs a separate category. I think we ought to just put it into the system that exists today called the U.S. Pharmacopeia.
Well, I think Kevin was talking about how it works financially and the cost. Kevin, is that what I heard from you?
Well, that and yes, there are many farmers out there across the United States now that grow their own, and obviously it's illegal. Are we going to specify certain farms? Is it going to be a, federally owned farm that's going to grow this for all the soldiers and anyone else out there? And,
Well, that's a political.
You are always going to have the people that, you know, are going to continue to grow it on their own and sell it on the street. So, you know, once again, how are you going to differentiate between the standard street drug dealer and the guy that gets it from the pharmacy with a prescription that decides to turn around and go sell it on the street corner?
All right, Kevin, thanks for the call.
Okay. I think the answer is obvious to me. A medical grade plant has to be grown as medicine. You just don't grow it in a field like you grow corn. This is something that's going to be put into somebody's body. No pesticides, no fertilizers of damage. I mean, very, very organic, very, very technical method of growing cannabis at this level. This isn't just something that you might be able to do. And then if you want to talk about farmers in Virginia, it was years ago that now deceased Representative Vanieri's got the Virginia Farm Bureau to pass a resolution to say they want Virginia farmers to grow hemp. Why aren't we growing hemp? There's no psychoactive stuff there. It is the same plants grown differently, but there's nothing. You can't use it medically. You can't use it recreationally. Why are we doing that? Street dealers? I can get all the cannabis I want right now off the street. I don't know what's in it. And I pay an exorbitant price for it. If it was legitimate medicine, like the medicine that the federal government gives federal patients, by the way, right now, saying at the same time it's not medicine, the cost of that produced at the University of Mississippi, U.S. government's pot farm is $2.50 an ounce. So I think that if I could buy my medicine at $2.50 an ounce in a pharmacy that was grown correctly and organically, I'd rather do that than spend $300 on the street buying something I don't know.
But, you know, I made a comment about as you grow older, you know, the people in the older age range who are voting may not be for cannabis for medical purposes, whether it's for veterans, whether it's for the California guy with a headache. And I think that's one of the problems is that starting in California, they feel like many people feel as though it's been simplified a little too much and you can go buy it for any reason that you'd like. But as was pointed out to me, you mentioned Mr. Vanieri's, but I believe that, and I believe his last name is Morgan, Representative Morgan in Virginia, a 78-year-old Republican who for the last several years, and again expected to try again this year, to introduce a bill that will allow cannabis use for medical purposes, correct?
He's a pharmacist. He's a pharmacist.
Retired, yeah.
He understands.
Yeah, he
ML?
As you said, Delegate Harvey Morgan is a retired pharmacist. It's great that he does get it, and you would hope that the other politicians would listen to this man. But I want to go back to that fellow's question. You know, California was the first state to have that pass the initiative back in 1996, and it was pretty open, and they didn't really put in there how, you know, they allowed patients to grow it, but they didn't really allow if a patient was too sick to be able to grow it or just didn't have that green thumb, where were they going to get it? And so California is a mess in some ways, and yet it works beautifully in a lot of places. Unfortunately, the press and the politicians who are against it pick up any news story that's negative. But there are states doing it really well. Rhode Island, New Mexico, they've got a system whereby there are dispensaries set up, regulated dispensaries. And patients will figure this out. As a patient, if I wasn't growing my own medicine, I'd want to be able to go someplace and know, one, that it's clean, it's not contaminated, as Al said, no fertilizers, et cetera, but that it doesn't have any mold, et cetera. I also want to know what's in it. The other thing we've just learned, and again, the patients are driving this issue. They want quality medicine. A big dispensary in California, Harborside, started doing testing. They tested all the cannabis. They tested for its THC content and another very, very important cannabinoid, CBD, cannabidiol. It has a boatload of therapeutic uses. And one of the other things is it's not psychoactive, and it helps dampen down the high from the THC. Well, what they found in California was very, very rich cannabis strains, very rich in THC and almost void of the other cannabinoids. And patients, as well as the researchers at our conference, are saying, please stop this. Patients need the other cannabinoids. along with the THC. And so now we're growing better. And so at a dispensary, as a patient, they're going in there, and they find a strain that works for their glaucoma. They want to stay with it. And if someone's testing it, they can see that it's got the right ratio of cannabinoids. So patients will help drive this. They want quality medicine. Healthcare professionals want to know what they're providing to patients. So it'll be, there are many, many, templates or whatever you want to call it for different cannabis laws. Virginia could have a very good cannabis laws, easy enough to get dispensaries where people are professionally growing it and guaranteeing the quality control. Patients want quality control and consistency and legal access to medicine.
It is 11:56 here on the Wake Up Call. We are talking about cannabis candidates. We've been talking about the political issues that go along with medical marijuana. This is Rick Moore on the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call. Thank you so much for listening in. Next week, don't forget, is the fundraiser. Please make sure to call. This is WNRN Charlottesville and WNRS FM Sweetbriar Amherst Lynchburg. We've been talking with Alan and ML Mathery. Let me ask you, Kevin called, and I think he had a legitimate question because he is the person. He didn't sound completely against it, but he sounded like someone who thought, this is what's keeping me from going for it. There are some issues that I'm concerned about. And he brought in financial issues. He mentioned things that are related to how the government did a poor job with the real estate market and investments. Where does he go to find this? Not from someone like Al, who's strongly for it, but from somewhere where he can read his own and gather his own information to convince himself, not being convinced by someone else.
Well, look, this is not a financial question. This is not a how do we get it question. The organization that I started is Patients Out of Time. We started with 10 board members, 3 of them are dead. We can work out the financial problems. We can work out distribution. I was a professional logistician. I can figure out how to do this, and there's a lot of people around that can too. And as Mary Lynn says, there's many, many states that already have done it and done it very well. We can tax it. We can make money on this if that's how you want to do it. But what I want you to do is to let folks like us have the wherewithal to deal with medical people so that patients in the state of Virginia can have the option of using cannabis just like they have the option of running across any one of those other 500,000 drugs. And if money's holding us back, it shouldn't. Compassion should lead this.
And again, the websites, because many people can find their way through, they can Google their way, but medicalcannabis.com, VeteransForMedicalMarijuana.org, I believe, is the other one. Last comment. It is 11:59, and Drew's here for his program. ML?
Last comment. I guess it is just, Kevin, I think, go read what you need to read so you can make up your own mind. And just understand that a lot of times the reporters, the news of the day very often is, it has to be exciting. It has to be, especially if it's dirty or nasty or some kind of, something bad happened. It makes the news. And there are so many patients in even in California that are benefiting with this medicine. And the communities see it as a benefit. Everyone sees it as a benefit. But, we've still got cowboys out there trying to make money on pot, selling it and using this as a scam, whatever. But as Al said earlier, that's happening now. I mean, cannabis is the most used recreational drug. That is happening now, but the patients are suffering with this problem. So making it available for patients in many ways will decrease the underground world of cannabis and allow patients to have a clean, legal source of their medicine.
And do what you can for all listeners who are for this to help make the politicians take your viewpoint. I believe that the politicians are hearing lots from the people who are against it, but the people who are for it, make your voice heard as well. All right. Thanks to ML Mathry and Al Byrne. Again, you can go to their websites to learn more about it for yourself. MedicalCannabis.com, VeteransForMedicalMarijuana.org. All right, next week we'll be doing our fun drive here. Please tune in. Ronald McDonald House will be here as we continue our medical search. Adios.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. And by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon gasoline, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@AOL.com or at wakeupcall@WNRN.org. The wake-up call is produced by Sean McCord. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 for the Wake Up Call, only on WNRN.